everybody. Welcome. It's Thursday once again. And I am your host, Reverend Savannah Treewalker, the Order Standing Oak, and Theophilus Jessup of Raven Temple of CX Wicca. And it's been a crazy day. The spring has been just going crazy, and we've had a lot of rain. And last week we had a lot of really weird high temperatures. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Winter may be done with us. I know that a lot of my friends and stuff are really chomping at the bit to get things planted and all that stuff. And I'm like, just be careful, guys, because, you know, you go too early on certain things and a frost comes along and you are going to be in big trouble. But, and today we've just had, like, I think so far, maybe about an inch and a half of rain where I live. And it's going to be rainy for the next 3 days. And that's just going to be cool because one thing that I'm waiting for, I don't know about y'all, but I am ready for the trees to start budding and the leaves coming and everything. I'm ready for Beltane, basically. And I just want to say hello, everybody out there. And if you're listening, you can come and join us here at www.blogtalkradio.com/PaganPerspectives and come and hang out with us in the chat room. And also, the number to call tonight is 563-999-3644. We've got a lot of things going on, man. Last week, we did our tarot and witchcraft show, and that was just incredible. And then next week's show, we're going to be talking about psychic abilities and how they can, and we are enhanced by them in witchcraft. Yes, so it's going to be very cool. And then we have our giveaways, which we've got a couple things to talk about. First off, we still have a giveaway for our pristine copy of The Witch's Bible by Janet and Stuart Farrar. And also coming up in April, on April 18th, it'll be my pleasure to have here on the show to interview for y'all Lisa Wagner, author of Positive Pagans. And it is going to be so cool that I'm going to get to talk with her. We're going to have her on the show. But not only are we going to have her on the show, but one of our lucky listeners that are out there can win a copy of her book. It's very cool. It was awesome to be able to find a writer that I could bring to you guys. And she's working with Llewellyn. She's probably got other projects going on right now. So that I know a bunch of writers that are getting ready to have new books. Alaric Albertson is getting ready to have a new book published by Llewellyn. There's just a whole bunch. There's a new Incantations book by Donald Tyson that recently came out. So there's a lot of stuff going on just with that. And then for us, what we're going to be doing literally is at the end of this month, we're going to be holding a full moon ritual for the storm moon. And then in April, at the front part of April, April 13th, we're getting together with all the people that want to come to bring their doggies and their kitties. And we're doing a blessing of the familiars, a blessing of our animal companions. We're going to take them to the park and we're going to bless them with the energy of the gods that they have long, wonderful lives. And they're going to be patted on the head and rubbed and told good boy and good girl. And part of the ritual, each person that has a pet that comes, they're going to get a toy. That is going to be so cool. And then at the end of the month, April 27th, we are going to be at Phelps Grove Park for our, we've been doing this since 2016, Beltane in the Park 2024. We're going to have ritual. We're going to have food. We're going to have drumming. It's going to be a beautiful day. And we're going to be here in Springfield, Missouri at Phelps Grove Park. It's going to be so cool. I would get the pavilion, but I don't. The fees for some of the things that they have for the parks in our area are kind of starting to get stupid prices. So it's like, we can just use the regular park facilities and stuff. But Phelps Grove is one of my favorite parks here in Springfield because of the simple fact that it is easily accessible, you know, for us to get to and stuff. So that's going to be cool. And then in May, the middle of May, we're going to be holding a Springfield Springtime Drum in the Sun. And we're going to have a good time. That's going to be from 1:30 till 4:30. And the date for that, I haven't got it in my brain. We've been doing so much stuff, guys. Plus, I am putting the finishing touches on some stuff. I am working, like I said before, we are working on bringing out the new CX Wicca Voice. And price-wise, to do what I need to do and making up copies for the people that have asked to get something, everybody wants it to be like a online magazine, you know, online magazine or whatever. And that's great. We may do it. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that like to have something in their hands that they can read, they can connect with, you know. And so what I have to do is the only part that's going to make it messed up is for the covers are all color. And then everything in the inside is black and white because that's all I can afford. Okay. But because of the differences, I've got one place that I can get the black and whites done at a decent price, and then, but their color prices are horrible. And I've got another place that's in the area that will do it at the size that I want with the right colors and everything and stuff. So that, you know, I did want to start out with 100 copies, you know, just to put it together. And I decided to go 50 to maybe 60, 65. And that way, one copy I want to send to the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and let them, you know what's going on. And then I want to send some copies down to Peru and Chile. CX Wicca has a very large following in South America and even in Australia, believe it or not. South America, Australia, and, of course, Britain and stuff. So it's very, very cool. And speaking of that, that is what we are talking about. Tonight's show, we are talking about what is CX Wicca? Where did the tradition come from? Everything, we're going to give you the story of that tonight. Plus, we're going to have some great music and let you guys know about what's going on. And like I say, if you're out there, I invite you to come check out the room. All you got to do is come to www.blogtalkradio.com/PaganPerspectives. And join us in the chat. And I'm going to give you guys a little something to listen to. And then when we get back, we will talk about what is CX Wicca. Let's find something very nice here. How about this?
The night charcoal upon the heath, dear in day, dear in day. The bittern booms the reeds beneath, dear in day.
Do you have Celtic roots? Are your ancestors from Ireland or Scotland or Wales? From Cornwall, Brittany, the Isle of Man or Gaul? Do you love stories and tales? Ancient myths, legends and folklore of the Celtic peoples? Do you want to hear more about King Arthur, Gwydion, Taliesin, Cuchulain, wild magic and the realms of the Otherworld? Do you want to hear about the old gods, druids and fairies in a way that they're not just dusty, dry words on a page? Then you need the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. In the days when the world was young, the days when the air was clean and the dew was fresh upon the grass.
Listen well, for I have tidings for you. Warriors are coming from across the sea.
Strange. Take this message back with you. Tell the Fearbald that they must give my people either battle or live in peace in half of Erin.
On my word, I should prefer to give you half of Erin than to face your weapons.
The Celtic Myth Pod Show will bring you the bravery of heroes and heroines, the magnificent pantheon of gods and goddesses, and the magic and wonder of druids, fairies, and folklore. Our ancestors would listen to these stories as told to them by their bards. They wouldn't read them in books. This podcast brings the magic of sound back into our legends. A new episode comes out twice a month and builds into a complete collection of tales from Celtic mythology. So just sit down, get comfortable, and join us every other week. Listen to news, chat, and a story from Celtic mythology with the Celtic Myth Pod Show from CelticMythPodShow.com. That's CelticMythPodShow.com.
Circle is cast, and I'm your host. I want to say hello to everybody who's out there. We want to say hello to Lodge Magician. He has been coming in for several weeks now, pretty much since the beginning, and hanging out with us. I really appreciate him. And I appreciate all of you that are out there. And I want to give you guys a little bit of information about the show also. What Blog Talk Radio does is whenever we get done with the program and I sign off, there's going to be a time of maybe like 10 or 15 minutes. It will be in processing, and then it will be right on to the site. So if you want to download it, you can take it with you and get it into your phone or into your car, or into your computer or whatever. And also, after the show is done and I get it processed, I take it and I put it on Spotify. So you can also find Pagan Perspectives on Spotify. And we've got all of our shows on there. We got more shows on there than what are on Blog Talk Radio, because I had about maybe 15 shows that I did with just using audio, you know, like audio Audacity and some programming and things like that. So basically it was just a straight MP3 thing. And then since 2012, I've been doing my YouTube channel, which is Pagan Perspective on YouTube. And recently, kind of doing a little, they got these little 120-second videos, and I'm doing kind of like a produced version. And so just a couple days ago, I put up a new video on the channel titled, What is an Athame? We're going to go through all the weapons of ritual, and then we're going to go into some other things. And these are going to be little, look, just barely under two-minute bite-sized chunks of information for people that, you know, couldn't understand a really long explanation. So you basically like want to keep it to the cliff notes. And so we've got more of those coming out. And we're even going to do some of those for ceremonial magic, Thelema, and stuff like that. And it's like, it's going to be fun, I think, getting some videos and stuff back up on YouTube. Plus, we're going to be doing, I'm going to be doing, I think I want to do a video on the LBRP, and then I want to do some videos on, well, like, saying Resh and some other things, stuff like that. So we're going to start shifting gears with one of the first shows that I want to bring back here to the channel, because of the fact that even before, I don't think I might have maybe had one ceremonial magic oriented show that I had done on the channel previously. And we're going to rectify that and try to get as much as we can. And I'm going to go back to doing some shows on Druidry too, for the people out there that have a background in some form of Druidic tradition. You know, so we're going to start bringing it. But the first show that we come back with is going to be on the Rose Cross. Yes, one of the most important sigils and laymans and things that are kind of like a linchpin for a lot of things in the Golden Dawn tradition and, you know, that kind of, you know, hermetic work and stuff like that. So we're going to be dealing with that. And then later on, I think just before we get into summer, I want to do some shows on the Lesser Key of Solomon, the Emerald Tablet of Hermes, and things like that. Really kind of deep dive into it. And so, yeah, keep an eye out for that stuff. Tonight, I am enjoying some of my favorite herbal ingestments, and I am drinking one of my favorite things. Is like I said here last time, I have a batch of cranberry mango. And as mead ages, even in a refrigerator, over time, it just mellows and rounds and softens. So right now I take a toast to everyone out there that's listening. But yeah, this is some incredible mead. And then I'll tell you something about mead coming up here in just a second, folks. Oh my goodness, that's sweet but dry. I love it. Here in the last few days, we have formed a Ozarks Area Pagan Mead Makers page on Facebook. And what I'm looking to do is get together with those regardless of your tradition. If you like to make mead and if you like to drink mead, I wanted to get together and do like brewers gatherings where we talk about our recipes and we share bottles. Currently, I have in my kitchen in a 1.5 gallon little big mouth bubbler. I have it's all not all the way to the top. You have to leave some headspace, but I probably got about a 1 1/3 gallon in there of Concord grape with apple. And I'm using a very dark honey. Yes, I'm using honey. And also, I used a yeast that can go as high as 18% in the alcohol. And what this is going to be whenever the time, because right now it's still in primary fermentation. It's still bubbling. There's lots of expression of what the yeast are doing. And if you look very closely at the bottom of the bubbler, there's about a half inch little seed of flat white looking granules that are at the bottom. That's the yeast that has eaten all the sugar and congealed up and piled at the bottom. And so all of the, as it's doing, which it's a good thing because of the fact that the more sugar that they eat, the more alcohol that we're going to get out of it. And it's just going to be beautiful. But I think this is going to be like a table wine, something, even though it's going to have mead, because I did put honey in it. I put some very beautiful dark honey, 3 pounds. And so we're going to get together and just share, you know, because that's one of the things, one of the sacred drinks that the gods drank was, they called it the nectar of the gods. And other people say, yes, the nectar of the gods. They keep trying to tell me, no, it was just the food. You can go on Wikipedia, and the nectar of the gods was edible and drinkable in various myths. So, yeah. And it's just like I'm one of those people that I like to include mead in ritual. I mean, I'm not just, you know, drinking it to drink it. We've got bottles in there that we use for sacred rites and Sabbaths and all these other things because, you know, and also being heathen is the idea that the toasts that we share with each other is what kind of carries us on into our next life. So that is going to be great to get together with them folks. But tonight, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about what is CX Wicca. And I'm going to kind of go into some things that will give you guys an idea about where it came from that I ended up starting to get into the ideas of CX Wicca. Well, first, just to let know that CX Wicca is a tradition of the craft that was kind of fostered and came up with by Raymond Buckland, the author of many, many books that you guys might have in your bookshelf right now. But for the benefits of this show, the only two books you have to worry about is Buckland's The Tree, a Book of Saxon Witchcraft, that was published in 1974, which has been republished by Llewellyn and is now called The Book of Saxon Witchcraft. And it's white cover with a lady on it and some trees behind her. It's very cool and it's easily accessible. And of course, one of the books that put Raymond Buckland on the map, which is Big Blue, Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. I have been doing some studying and I have misplaced my copy of The Tree, but I do have my copy of Big Blue here with me so that I can clarify some things and give you ideas of what the tradition is about. So having said that, also I'll give you some background text too of that. In the early years of my having a show on Blog Talk Radio, I was lucky to be able to come into an interview with Raymond Buckland whenever his book Gypsy Magic was being published by Redville Wiser. And it was so cool. I got to get a hold of Dr. Buckland before we started to do the show and talk a little bit and everything. And it was just very, very cool. And I told him that, you know, I was going to you know, talk about what brought him into witchcraft and things like that. Matter of fact, I have that interview on my YouTube channel, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it and paste it on here, the link, so that you guys can watch it. And the interview that I have on my YouTube channel is the interview that I did with him on Blog Talk Radio. I got to do that interview with him about 4 years before he passed. And it was very cool to see where he came from. Another thing that you guys might possibly know or might not know, but Raymond Buckland came to the United States in 1963. And when he came over, he brought with him Gardnerian witchcraft. He had been initiated by Gerald Gardner's high priestess, not necessarily Gardner himself. And there we go. He had been brought in via the Gardnerian tradition. And he had really had started to, you know, he had always kind of had things where he was gypsy. That's why he was had his book out. Plus, he has a lot of divination and things, and Gypsy Love Magic and some of his other books. You need to check out the library of writing that Dr. Buckland has. He's got Wicca for One, Wicca for the Solitary, all these different books. Inside Witchcraft Today and all this, and there's still a lot of them are published, but he had gone through these years of, you know, what he had learned within the Gardnerian tradition. And like in the interview, in which you'll hear it, he alludes to the idea that for him, Gardnerian didn't necessarily fit all of the needs that he had at that time. And like in one part of the question, Dr. Buckland said that one of the things that for him didn't make sense was that in Gardnerian witchcraft, they used both an athame and a wand. Now, they can both basically be used for the same thing. So he was always in favor of the idea of not having the wand in ritual and things like that. And then also there was just things that, you know, didn't make sense. He says there was a lot of startings of ego tripping from various high priestesses and stuff. And he kind of found himself kind of looking for something, and he started to do some research. And of course, Dr. Buckland is from England. And so he kind of started to look into the ideas of the Anglo-Saxon traditions, and he started to find things that really spoke to him, and he started to incorporate these ideas. Now we're going to give you a kind of a sandwich of this. The first part of this was his book, which was written in 1974, The Tree, A Book of Saxon Witchcraft. Now, within the tree, there is a lot of information. It's basically a very well-done Book of Shadows. It talks about the Sabbats. It talks about working for Esbats and things like that. But the other situations that are so cool about it, that within the tradition, we're working with the Anglo-Saxon gods and goddesses, being Woden, W-O-D-E-N, and Freya. Now, there are people that are saying that that Woden and Frigga are the Wiccan god and goddess. No, Dr. Buckland says on page 16 in the sidebar of the Complete Book of Witchcraft that he had chose Woden and Freya because of Frigg had connotations that he was not comfortable with, so he looked for the most he says that in the excerpt, he says he looked for the Norse equivalent that would work with the Anglo-Saxon ethos. And for that, it is Woden and Freya. And there is, you know, when you look at the ideas of the way that the rituals, just for the Sabbats, are written in it, is incredible. And another thing, the other situation is that book was in 1974. Fast forward some years past it, and Dr. Buckland wrote Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. Now, Big Blue is a big book. And one of the things that I like that's very, very cool is Big Blue is kind of tradition agnostic, meaning that it doesn't tie itself to anything that could be ritually tied to like Gardnerian or Alexandrian or anything like that. But in the book, and you can see it, there are various excerpts and things that show how the things that he's teaching in the Complete Book of Witchcraft can be used for what you want to do or using it as a Anglo-Saxon, Siax Wicca person or group. And so both books, The Tree and Big Blue, are inextricably tied together. And the thing that I like that makes it, because then it becomes a more well-rounded system. Because other than various certain ritual actions and things that are alluded to within the tree itself, the tree is what it is. It's basically a book of shadows. So it's not a great expounding on practice. Even though it does show practice stuff that's in it, there's a lot of information that Ray Buckland puts into it. But it's like with that together, with the tree and Big Blue, you have a very, very, very large playground to work with traditionally. And the other thing is the idea of working within an Anglo-Saxon framework, because it's not just Woden and Freya, but, you know, you can add all of the gods that are within that wheelhouse together. And for us, with our group, Raven Temple of CX Wicca here in Springfield, we also celebrate other things, because Dr. Buckland says that he knows that CX Wicca can change and be adapted to, and you can add what you want, as long as it's, you know, you're not going completely out of the wheelhouse, but if you add something that kind of enhances it. So like for us, we hold Bloat Ensemble, and also we do various hammer rites in ritual, but we still follow the witchcraft mode of casting circle and things like that. And, the one thing that Dr. Buckland was kind of not looking into and having to deal with is he saw so much ego trips and people saying that they're the great witch of this and that and stuff. So whenever he came up on this, he came up onto the idea that, you know, all of that power tripping can be, just done away with whenever you have the ability to self-initiate. Yeah, it's not, you know, there are books written by Scott Cunningham and others that talk about self-dedication, but very few out there have talked about the process of self-initiation. And what that does is, you know, Dr. Buckland says that the reason why that he kind of put that in there was to have the idea that you can, you have your destiny in control. You don't have to worry about what a certain traditional priest or priestess is going to have to say about you whenever you can do this. And the thing about it is that you can bring others into, you can do CX Wicca covens where you can have people that come in and feel like they're on an even footing, because within the CX Wicca tradition, it is that in a lot of covens, not necessarily all, but there is the opportunity and the ability to have kind of like a rotation of officers within the coven once every 2 years. And those officers are the Jesus, and then you have the Thane, and you have Scribe, and you have some other things that are within it that you can rotate through, so that way everybody has a chance that wants to have that ability to express themselves in that manner, that they can take, you know, take the reins as it were, in leading, you know, activities and rituals and things that are, important to the Sex Wicca tradition. One of the really cool things about this is also the idea that Sex Wicca itself is not just American, but it's British. And like I said earlier, it is highly, highly revered and practiced in South America, Peru, Brazil, things like that. And it's just like, that just blows my mind. And when we come back here in just a few minutes, we are going to talk about some of the history of the tradition and some other things. And just, you know, if you're out there, all you got to do is come to www.blogtalkradio.com/pagan perspectives and join us here in the chat room. Or if you've got something that you would like to add about what your thoughts are, or if you're somebody out there that is a part of the Sex Wiccan tradition, then I urge you to call in. The number is 563-999-3644, and I will give you some more music, and then we will be back on Pagan Perspectives.
Hey!
Rising of the Moon with Starhawk and Reclaiming. I'm your host, Reverend Savannah Streetwalker, the Order of Standing Oak, and Theophrith Jessup of Raven Temple of CX Wicca. And just before I get into some of the kind of background and history that the tradition has, also looking at some of the practices within that are mentioned not just in Big Blue, but also within the tree itself. We do use the runes, and I use the Anglo-Saxon runes. There are 33, and I have a very cool set that I was able to acquire from author Alaric Albertson, and they are an awesome. Plus, I have a really nice set of stone runes that are just beautiful. The tradition works robed, but there are covens that do work skyclad. On the altar, you'll find representations of Woden and Freya, a symbol of the CX Wicca, which is the sun and moon, and then inside of that circle, is another smaller circle of spokes, which is the Wheel of the Year. So it's the Wheel of the Year encased within the sun and the moon. And we have that on our altar, which I'm looking at where I'm sitting just about 20 feet away. We have our altar and then our altar tapestry, which is almost 10 feet tall. Well, yeah, about 10 feet tall. And it is above that. And then we have on the altar, we have also a drinking horn that we use for ritual. And then we have an athame, and we do not use a wand of any kind for, temple rituals. The only other thing that we have on there that is not standard in a CX Wicca altar is we have a hammer. And the reason why we have a hammer is because we do the hammer rite. Hammer above, hallow and hold this holy stead. Hammer below, hallow and hold this holy stead, and so on and so forth. But I will also say that just to denote what we are doing, the CX Wicca is a tradition of witchcraft and Wicca. We aren't exactly like Ozatru and stuff like that. We do have, because of the fact that the Anglo-Saxons, when they came to England, where did they come from? They came from Germany and other places. So there is so much of the tying between the Anglo-Saxons of the 7th century and onward and stuff like that. And it was just like, then you look at the gods that are above that. Like you have Woden and Freya, and then you have Ing, I-N-G, Ing, which that is above everything. And that is England, sovereignty, the land. Ing is very important. Then we have Frey. We have a time of the year where we celebrate something called Freyfaxi. And also there are not just, there is CX Wicca, but also there are traditions that are kind of CX Wicca adjacent. They're not exactly witchcraft traditions, but they are very, very pagan. And the two of them that we have, well, actually there's three, is there's Fern Sadu, and then we have Lieblock, and then we have another tradition which is Auld Sidhu, and Auld Sidhu is Anglo-Saxon for old ways. So it's just, there's different little ways of doing things, but we're all still very much tied. So that's another thing. It's like, you know, yes, we are heathens. We work Galdar. We, within our group, we sit the high seat. And last year at Samhain, we had an experience where we had a room full of people and I sat the high seat, and it was just incredible. Sitting the high seat is a form of magic called Seidr, S-E-I-D-R. And it was just so cool, you know, and it was just like, we are learning. One thing that I will say is, at least within the book, Dr. Buckland has said himself that he knows that over time things are going to change. So don't be afraid to work with what is going to be effective and works for you. So what we do here at Raven Temple, it works for us, and it's cool, and it's very, very powerful. You know, working with the gods that we do, the way that we do, like we have the storm moon, full moon coming up at the end of the month. And that is going to be really, it's going to be intense. This is where we're going to work with, you know, the beginnings of rebirth, the violence of rebirth, and how you're going to have to, you know, go through a lot. But whenever you come out the other side of that, you're charged. You know, storms, what's one of the best things about storms? People are so scared of storms, but I'm not, unless it's a tornado or something, you know, you got to be prudent. But I'm saying, like, an energy of a storm, when you go out and you see that lightning and that thunder, that's when I would be getting into the house. And, you know, because that is a perfect time to work magic. You have the weather that the gods are providing right there for you to, you know, tap into and use it to, you know, help a situation or supercharge your, you know, you're not feeling up to, you know, the task with work and different things. And you can use these energies to, you know, bring you to a better state. So, you know, we have two people that are initiates, and they are some great people. I hand-fasted them 3 years ago on Samhain, and it was pretty cool. And it was so cool to initiate them. Now, the difference is that within CX Wicca, there are initiations into the temple, but into the tradition itself, there is a self-initiation ritual within the tree itself. And also, you know, in Big Blue, there are practices that enhance, like, you know, we've got, once you get past, you know, the, with all the making the clothes and everything like that, then you start to work into the practice stuff. You know, lesson 9, which is the chapter on divination, you know, chapters on rebirth, marriage, birth, death, rebirth, and channeling, you know, and everything that Dr. Buckland, and then you go from lesson 11 onward is the working with of magic. You know, working within the pinnacle and things like that. So there is a lot, you know, there's a reason why that this book has been so influential, is because of the fact that if you really look at it and break it down, and then you look at it in the correlation with the tree, when Dr. Buckland wrote that in 1974, you see that it is indispensable. They kind of interlock together, but you got to realize, you know, coming from him and, you know, seeing the way that he was working, and it's like, you know, working with Woden and Freya, the example for that, we have Beltane coming up, and Freya is the mother of witchcraft, and she's also a mother of Filchera. She's a mother. She's the Mother Earth for us. And so we're going to be honoring her. We're going to be honoring the Disir. We're going to be honoring all of the women in our area, in the circle, and everything. And it's just going to be so cool. But Beltane, it says, hey, fertility is happening for you and for your animals and everything else on the planet. It's that time. And that's the thing. Once, because I really look forward to Beltane. Beltane is my jam. I love Samhain, don't get me wrong, but for me, because Beltane, you get to be out in the thick of it, drumming and enjoying your brothers and sisters and stuff like that. For me, it's just, that's my number one Sabbath of the entire year, Beltane. It's like what we're going to be doing is, you know, giving people, because that's one thing, whenever we do public ritual, I want it to be an experience for them that they take home with them and go, wow, I like that. I like the energy. I like the way it felt. I like the companionship, the camaraderie and stuff. And that's what a coven is. It means to come together, to convene as brothers and sisters in perfect love and perfect trust, and to step within the circle. Like we talked about in the song earlier, a circle is cast. Inside that circle, all manner of magics happen. The gods are honored, and the spirits of place and the ancestors and everything are giving the prime spot, because we get, like I say, we get so bent into ourselves that we don't think, you know, that there's something more out there, and we need to connect with that. And so that's why we do these things. It's ritual actions that trigger something in our minds, souls, and spirits that say, this is what's going on. This is what we're dealing with for this part of the year, for this part of the season. And I think for me, CX Wicca has some of the coolest written, and you can, you know, I like to use the way that the Sabbats were written in the tree itself as like a template for me to kind of play with and, you know, do what they are, because of the fact that, you know, I think that it's meant a lot of times to be organic. Also, we have our own, we're going to have our own copy of the tree tree. And the tree tree is what we're going to do is we're going to have a book of shadows made for the tradition that has members in it and stuff like that. And then we're going to have the tree in it, the things that we are going to use and the things that will be added to the end of it and stuff. And that is going to be the base of our grimoire, our book of shadows, the workings that we do as a group. And the people that are initiated within the temple will have access to it, to where they can copy it and make their own tree. And the trees, when everybody's making a copy of the tree, that's leaves. That's a tree growing. Everybody's taking that knowledge. And that's why it's so cool, is the fact that also, for me, the reason why I just to let you know about my occult background, I am a Celtic druid. I am a ceremonial magician. And I work within the realm of CX Wicca and Anglo-Saxon witchcraft and heathenry. So one of the things that makes it a little bit easier is because I was initiated in a Celtic eclectic Wicca coven years ago. And so I've had that dealing with, you know, witchcraft circles and stuff like that. And then in the year 2000, I became involved with the Henge Celtria. At the time, I couldn't necessarily jive with what I was seeing with the idea of the Indo-European idea of Druidry. To me, Druidry for me is excellently Celtic, you know, and so, but that's, you know, that's just me. So you had two different sides of that. You had ADF, which is Henri Epiphane, which was Isaac Bonowitz's group, and then you had the Henge Celtria, which was a former member of ADF's group, Tony Taylor. And I had become part of the Henge Celtria. And for a couple of years, we had a study group. And then we kind of just moved into our own thing and started what we have today. And it's still going strong, is the Order of Standing Oak. And we do follow, there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily Celtrian that are a part of the tradition and stuff like that. But also, you know, it's kind of been altered to kind of fit for us as well. But the main thing is, what people don't realize is, in those early years on the island of Ireland itself, was the situation where Vikings, or those that were Viking-esque, let's put it that way, Norwegian, Norse, whatever, had come into Ireland, and they were on their way to conquer Greenland and Iceland. And so they kind of built this relationship in passing of knowledge, skills in making jewelry and items for war and things like that. So the both sides, the Celts and Viking folk, really got along to the point where I'll just lay a little bit of tidbit of knowledge. In the center of Dublin City, or kind of close to that area, there is a burial ground, one of the largest Nordic Viking era burial grounds anywhere, and it sits inside of Dublin City. And they said that they estimate that there are thousands of corpses within this area. And so they acknowledge that there was a lot of interconnectivity between the Celtic traditions and what the Nordic tribes brought. And that's another thing, one of my things that I'm breaking off into, even as I'm working within CX Wicca, is something called syncretic heathenry, or otherwise known as Norscale. And I believe in the idea that you can have ritual situations that involve the Celtic gods and also the Norse, or the Anglo-Saxon or whatever. Any of the heathen gods can be syncretically kind of brought into it, because at least those ones that are shown to have been known and dealt with in Ireland during that time that the Nordics and those that were there. Because, I mean, the one thing that this shows it also so much is, like I said, they have all of those examples of, you know, all of the workmanship that they had. But it's like also, you know, just the way that there are things that influence Irish language, and they kind of influence each other linguistically in certain aspects. So it was like that back and forth. And then you bring it over back over into England, and my family is mostly English. You know, there are Irish in some parts of it, but, you know, my last name, Workman, that's English. And so I kind of started looking into CX Wicca more after that I had that chance to sit and talk with Dr. Buckland on my show. And it really made me start to look, because I just like the idea of the egalitarianism of, you know, not everybody being, you know, all about the ego. And also the thing about it is, you know, there's not a degree system. You know, you learn what you learn, but there's not anything that takes you up to be super high, muckety, muha, whatever. You are you, and you are with your people. And the only thing is that separates you in any kind of way is the ones that are up speaking at every ritual to facilitate what the group needs. But other than that, everybody's the same, you know. And it was always the idea, like me and Dr. Buckland talked about this on the show, was the idea of, you know, everybody gets so uptight about initiations in witchcraft. It's like, who initiated the first witch? You know, Dr. Buckland said that himself, and I've always asked that, you know. And another thing I think, okay, what we can look at with the idea of initiation is the fact that initiation has two conduits for it. You have the idea of initiation as a spiritual experience, and then you have the idea of initiation as a connection to your coven. Excuse me. And that's very important, because that's like where we get the idea of you know, whenever you come to the circle and you are challenged, you are asked to enter in perfect love and perfect trust. You know, so that is, that is very important, to deal with that. There are traditions that are, that have been, let's put it this way. There are traditions that have been not so friendly of the LGBTQ community. And I'm going to tell you all right now, for everybody that's listening, if you're in the LGBTQ arena, We love you. We want you to hear the show. We're going to be doing a show just for the LGBTQ community coming up here pretty soon. I've got some things that I've got to – schedules need to be met, and we're going to have some people on the show, and we're going to talk about their experiences and dealing with where we live, because I live in the state of Missouri, and right now one of the biggest things that they're trying to deal with is how they want to hurt the trans community. And the thing is sad is I have seen witches that have gone just totally crazy because they don't believe in, the trans ethic or whatever. And it's not up to them. I just say it's not up to them. And these were people that I've known that are in the craft community and that are known. And it's just, it makes me feel so sad that they would have to be that way, because nobody's telling them how to be a witch, but yet you don't like the idea of them being involved with us, and that just really bugs the crap out of me. Every boy, every girl, and everything in between are my brothers and sisters, and they're your brothers and sisters too. We can't get around it, except for the divisions that divide us. And so the egalitarian aspects of, being within the sex worker tradition, it's also, I think the thing that works most is a lot of traditions will have this idea of making you kind of run as fast as you can. You got to go to this thing, and you got to learn this thing for astral projection and all this other stuff. And for some people that are into that kind of rigorousness, hey, that's great, But there's other people that are baby steppers, and they have to go slow. They have to go methodic. And that's kind of smart, because if you try to rush things, if you try to rush somebody magically, a lot of times they're not going to understand what they're going through. And then, whenever they go to, do something and work something, and, if it's not done to the standard of the coven high priest or whatever, that it makes them feel bad. You shouldn't make people feel bad if they aren't magically up to things the way that you are. And they shouldn't be put into a thing where they have to perform like that unless they're going through an initiation. And then, of course, you should be asked what are the weapons of ritual and things like that. You need to know, why is there the cable toe for, being led to circle and stuff like that. What is the athame for, or as we call it, a sax? Sax wicked is also, it means a blade or a knife or a dagger. So a sax is a Saxon dagger or athame. And I've seen some that are beautiful. Just go on to Etsy and type in the word sax. And there's a lot of sax wicked stuff on there, but look at the blades. There are some incredibly... This one thing I love about pagan people, folks, we have some of the most greatest artisan type folks out there in the world. But yeah, so we're going to talk about some of the history of, where Dr. Buckland brought it into the United States and how it grew and where it went to and some other stuff. But yeah, and we're going to give you guys a little bit of music. And this is... Let's give you something with a little bit of upbeatness to it. Let's give you something pretty good. When you have 800 songs that I could possibly pick, it takes a minute, so please forgive me. Okay. Okay. All right, this is Incubus Succubus, Vampire Erotica, here on Pagan Perspectives. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. I'm your host, Reverend Smash Treewalker, the Lord Standing Oak, and Theophrith Jessup of Raven Temple of CX Wicca, and you're with me tonight on A Pagan Perspective, and we're talking about what is CX Wicca. And Lodge Magician just said that, yeah, he was looking into the idea of CX Wicca, but he was not, too keen on the Anglo-Saxon. They are Norse tied, but there's a lot of it that I take in the Anglo-Saxon realm, but he would like to do it with the Egyptian gods. And I just left a little bit of a thing there also that within the Alexandrian tradition, their god forms were Egyptian. And also Alexander's worked with Hermetic witchcraft through the Rose Cross and some other things within the tradition, him and Lady Maxine Sanders, known as the Queen of the Witches. There's a book about her. Well, he's the King of the Witches, which was a book written by him from author June Johns. And then there was another book that later on came out about Lady Maxine. And Lady Maxine is still with us. And the Alexandrian tradition is very vital and very much going on Facebook. You can find them, still active. And Lady Maxine is keeping everything going with that. That was what Dr. Buckland did. Whenever CX Wicca started going, as an example, not only did it go here, but he came into contact with people in South America, Juan Espinosa and others, and they kind of started, going back and forth about, and that's very cool. People in South America embracing Anglo-Saxon witchcraft, which is very cool, but it's kind of, they really got it going there. They have things going ritually. So I think it's very, very cool that, somewhere there. So it's like you don't have to be pigeonholed into, any certain god forms to work with, because of the simple fact that Big Blue itself works, as a framework. Also, you can look at the tree itself and you can take everything for the most part and kind of take those and work it into what you want to do. And Dr. Buckland, like he said, he wasn't going to be so overly controlling with it because of the fact that he wanted people to be able to keep it going even after he passed, and it's still going. Like I said, there's a good number of CX witches around the world. And I mean, if you want to be Greek or Polynesian or Indian, there's so many different things. It's like my attraction to Norse Gael, the Norse side of things and the Celtic side of things because of those, the way that they helped each other. It's like I look at the West this way. Be who you want to be because of the simple fact that anything that helps you spiritually is a good thing. That's what we're here for. We're here as brothers and sisters, pagans, to honor the gods, honor the earth, and to keep going and stuff. But also, we're doing this for us. We're fulfilling the great work by doing what we're doing, As far for me, working as a priest and doing the things that we are for Springfield Community Wicked Church and so on and so forth, it's like there's lots of things that we're learning. There are hedge witches. There are biker druids. Be you. Don't let anybody yuck your yum. My only thing is, do no harm. Ain't harm none. Do what thou wilt. That's the main thing, because of the simple fact that, a lot of times people within witchcraft don't look at the consequences of their actions for a lot of things. And people, good intention can bring bad things, you can be drunk and not mean to run over somebody and in their life, so that's, you didn't mean to go out and drink them 86 shots, but, so you have to be responsible to accept the karma of whatever is going to come back to you. So it's like, I tend to you know, go with the ideas of, you know, what does the tradition have that's positive? You know, because there are some traditions within witchcraft that aren't necessarily all that great. Like back in the day, before, you know, things got really out of whack, there were Gardnerian traditions that believed that every coven should be not necessarily mated pairs, but equal numbers of men and women. So a coven would be 13, so that would be, you know, six sets of two, and then one that would be, you know, the high priest or high priestess to, you know, offset that, the 13. But, you know, so basically there was this kind of discrimination against those that were LGBTQ, no gay or lesbian. But then again, that changed. We had, you know, the radical fairies and Dianic witchcraft and other things that, that came out of, you know, those strictures put up. And I'm also a thing of, you know, people, some say, well, you should just work with everybody. And yes, you should work with everybody. But also the other thing, I'm big on the male mysteries. You know, I can say that I, you know, I love the goddess and I love aspects of you know, the, my feminine side. But I also know that I, as a man, have to tap in to my energies, see where they go, because that's the thing, you know, any pagan man, the one thing that I like about being a pagan man is the fact that I can tap into the feminine, because what were we taught in Christian churches? That it was God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Did you hear mother? Did you hear sister? Did you hear any kind of feminine connotation? It was an all male-centric thing. Oh, thank the gods for beautiful me. So you're looking at this kind of baked-in alternate morality where, you know, they, that it was kind of okay to be discriminatory. Even within the Bible, you know, it was the idea of that you can be discriminatory and still seem pious with it and everything. Because, it, you know, there's things within that Christian Bible that show it. You know, whenever they left the city and God told Lot's wife not to look back, you know, at all of this, at all the destruction that he was going to bring because of the homosexuality and all that stuff. And instead, she looked back and what happened? She was turned into a pillar of salt. That's, you know, we, that's another thing I like about being on the pagan side of things is the fact our gods can be gods of war and all that stuff. But it's, you know, and we have that. We have that in our history, but the idea of, I haven't seen personally, now I could be wrong and I'm not going to vouch that there aren't any, but I, you know, I've seen very few pantheistic, let's put it this way, very few pantheistic god, goddess traditions or witchcraft traditions for that matter. Oh, excuse me. That could be construed as bigoted. Okay, so it doesn't say that there aren't pagan bigots that are out there. They probably are, but it's like you have the chance to, you know, you can accept people for who they are. That's the one thing that's great about witchcraft is, like, I was brought up by you know, I was brought up by a mother that was, you know, she was accepting of people. Like, she's even accepting of me as a witch. But the thing that's cute, she goes, I understand that you're a witch, but when you die, I hope you come in where I come where I'm at. Because she thinks that because I'm a witch, I'm going to go to hell or something like that. But it's like what we say, you know, it's all facets of a diamond. All paths lead to the center. So it's like my mom thinks that, but I said, nah, mom, you'll see me. And then we'll be here again because mom doesn't know so much that we kind of latch on to the idea of, you know, we accept reincarnation and other, you know, other traditions that, like within Druidry, there's the idea of transubstantiation, which is the idea that we don't just keep reincarnating as a man or a woman over and over again, but we can come back as a tree or a cow or a duck or a rock or a star or whatever. We believe that what we incarnate is in can be anything. But also, I'm one of those people that is on the idea that if we are on a you know, male-female dichotomy of going in through our various incarnations for eternity, I am a believer that the female is a higher life form in that way, because they are the mothers of life. We have the seed, but they have to carry that seed and birth it. So there's a lot more to it than just what we provide as, you know, as the male energy and stuff like that. And just please know that the fact that I am, everything that's been on this show tonight, I just want people to know, is I am a cis male. I am heterosexual. So I have many in the LGBTQ community that I know and love. My high priest was the most awesome gay man I ever knew. He ended up passing away here a couple years back from complications from HIV. And this man, Seamus Gentine, Edgewalker, to those of us within Greenleaf Coven, we love this man. And, you know, and he would come to me at times and just feel so he didn't feel like life was treating him fair because of what he had to deal with, having HIV and stuff. But I was there for him. I'd sit there and I'd talk to him and help him feel a little bit better, maybe get high with him, who knows, and just, you know, bring him out of that slump. Everybody needs somebody to talk to sometimes. And he was my high priest, and I love this guy. Even with him gone, my best friend Steve, who passed away 15 plus years ago, It doesn't seem like that. I was there at his funeral. I gave a eulogy in front of God, 100 plus people. And it was like, you know, that was a brother. That my best friend Steve was the one that brought me into witchcraft. He, by the way, was a former Satanist who kind of seen Satanism as something that wasn't viable for him to the greatest degree. So he came up across some people that were involved in paganism and witchcraft. And then the rest was history. So it's like, that's why I like the pagan community. That's why I've liked following what has been going on, because, you know, there's a lot of things to look at over the years. There was, you know, like I say, CX Wicked Voice came out in the 70s. It was one of the first known put out pagan newsletters. So there was a lot of that thing going on in the late 60s and early 70s with that kind of stuff. And then, you know, later on at a point, just before Dr. Buckland wanted to go into a different direction, there was a place called Crowhaven House, which was kind of, Dr. Buckland was talking to some people that he was looking into maybe possibly handing off the tradition to. But that didn't go so well, so that didn't happen. And then later on, excuse me once again, Dr. Buckland kind of veered off in his later years from being specifically focused on just witchcraft, and he became a spiritualist. He would do seances and retreats at Lilydale in Lilydale, New York. And that's where he spent a lot of his final years before he passed, was working within the spiritualist community. He said on the interview with me that he was, you know, even in his younger years, his family had given him, that's where we get Big Red. And for those of you that don't know, there are two big books. We have Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft, which is Big Blue, and then we have Buckland's Big Red. And it's a hard book to find, but you can order it, and if you can get it off of Amazon for a decent price, it's called Buckland's Book of Spirit Communication. It is a Big Red, and it's just as thick as the book that I have in my hand. And it deals with everything in dealing with spiritualism, spirit communication, spirit guides, and that whole kind of thing. So that's another book that I highly recommend. There are just about everything. I think that and Wicca from the Inside, Witchcraft Today, and stuff. There's a lot of books that I highly recommend from Dr. Buckland because of the fact that, you know, he was one of the people that brought, you know, witchcraft over to the United States. Now, not to say that there wasn't, you know, folk magic traditions in the United States. The only other traditions that were really going at the time that Raymond Buckland came to the United States was Cora and Victor Anderson, the founders of the fairy tradition, which gave us Gwydion, Penderwyn, and Starhawk's T-Sorn Coil that gave us that tradition. Also, if you get a chance, if you want to read some literature from the various traditions, I think one book that I would highly recommend to folks out there right now is a book written by actually, the first book I would recommend is 50 Years in the Fairy Tradition by Cora Anderson, and then also by Victor, Thorns of the Blood Rose. And, you know, you can see where that West Coast tradition had already been fermenting when Dr. Buckland came and brought it in the early 60s. And that was the time, you know, that witchcraft really started to take off. There was Gavinita von Frost. There was Herman Slater. There was Dr. Leo Martello in New York. There was a lot. Then we had Carl Weschke and all these other witches that were starting to come out and bring witchcraft into the foray. As an example, we just had the passing of author and witch and kind of the forefather of the pagan way, Ed Fitch, who recently passed away. So it's like we have a lot of rich, rich history within the craft. And I think that any research that you do into Anglo-Saxon magic, Galder, runes, you know, just traditions, because that's another thing. It's like I'm adding. So I'm looking into what are the stories of, you know, like the Havamal and Beowulf and all of these other things, because those are things that are important and also, you know, that kind of help us figure out where we kind of fit within it. All right, we are going to take a minute, and then what I'm going to do is we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you guys a bunch of information. We're going to talk about some more stuff with the tradition, and, you know, just have a great night. But before we do all of that, I want to give you something for you to hear that I love. These people, I was lucky enough to meet them when I went to Heartland. This is Velvet Hammer, and We Do Not Die here on Pagan Perspectives.
Telling me I cannot
we're back. That was Sunset Ceremony by Sacred Earth Drums. I have that on tape and CD. I like it so much I got it on both, because sometimes the tape don't work that great. And so I put in the CD. But I want to thank everybody that's out there listening. I want to thank Lodge Magician. And if you're out there, you know, we've got a little bit of time left. I encourage you to come out. All you got to do is come to www.blogtalkradio.com/PaganPerspectives, and, you know, come in and keep Lodge Magician some company. And if you have anything you want to say about the show, what's in the last few minutes that we've got left, the number to call is 563-999-3644. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, but before we get too far into it, I want to give you guys the opportunity to figure out how you're going to win this pristine copy of The Witch's Bible with Janet Stuart Farrar, and how you can win, possibly win a copy of Positive Think or Positive Pagan by Lisa Wagner, which we're going to be doing an interview with her in April. So all you got to do is send me an email to Sylvanus93, SYLVANUS93@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, put book giveaway. And then down in the body of the email, give me your name and what book you want to win. If it's for the copy of The Witch's Bible by Janet Stuart Farrar, we'll put your name in for the drawing for that. And we're going to draw the name of the winner of Lisa Wagner's book live on the air with her on the show. So we're going to let you guys know that, you know, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to be doing some giveaways. I've got an athame that I've had put up for a while. And eventually we're going to, you know, be doing a giveaway where we have an athame and some other tools. We might have some things. I like to do a witch's kit and, you know, something like that for one lucky person, but that's going to be something later on as we get down towards the holidays at the beginning, at the end of the year. But so we've got that going on. And if you want to find out more about what we are, then all you got to do is come to Facebook and type in the search line, Raven Temple, H-R-A-F-N, Temple of CX Wicca, and you can find us there. We have a page that we have information, teaching, and just letting you know what's going on with our temple. So we have that. Also, we have the Patreon, and what we're wanting to do with the Patreon is we're wanting to use the Patreon as a way to get people to come together from around the world to help me and help us help the pagan community around us. We want to do some programs for pagans in recovery, the LGBTQ community, pagan moms and stuff like that. And it would be cool if you could support the show by going to our Patreon. Patreon link is in the show notes. And we've got Full Moon coming up. And then we've got the Blessing of Our Furry Companions. And then we've got coming up at the end of April, April 27th, Beltane in the Park 2024, the big one. And then in May, we're going to be doing a drumming. And then we're going to go through the year. We'll do Midsummer and everything else. So we've got a lot coming on. And if you just want to, you know, let me know that you're listening to the show and you think everything is just awesome, then please feel free to send me an email. All you got to do is go to, you know, your favorite browser and type in Sylvanus93@hotmail.com and tell me what you would like to hear on the show. Authors that you might like to have, you know, brought onto the program. Right now, I'm in the process of getting together. This may take a while, but we're going to possibly have, I'm going to be doing some reviews on the show of books by Gus Zidarega. And he's, oh man, this guy, he's been around in the craft community for many years. And what I want to do is not only do reviews about his books, there's two books in particular that we're going to be looking at, but what I'd like to do is to be able to get Gus to come on to the show. So we're working with that. I'm also looking at interviews for bringing on Judica Illis and possibly bringing back a pagan leader and the founder of PSG, Selena Fox, and some other folks, and, you know, just seeing what do they think about the future of paganism. You know, we've been around in this for so long, but where do we see it going? What do we see, you know, the various traditions, and what have we lost, and what are some of the things that, you know, we need to help to keep it vibrant and strong? Because one of the things that makes me feel bad is that mystery's kind of gone out of the mystery. I understand that everybody can be pagan, but sometimes when you have the people that, you know, don't understand a lot of things, it's like, and then you try to help them, you know, I don't want people to be lured off into something that, you know, like, you know, Branch Davidians or anything like that, you know, any of that stuff that was bad back in the day. There are things that people are putting out there. That's why whenever you get a book, whenever you read any pagan book, witchcraft grimoire, ceremonial magic book, whatever it is, look and see, like, as an example, one of the worst books that you'll ever find mentioned in the Druid community is the 21 Lessons of Merlin, brought to us by author Douglas Monroe. That's one of the worst books you could ever get. I know there are some pagans that will back it up, and others that will say, nah, man, that book is okay. I look at it this way. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder and everything. So it's like, you know, you've got to be careful, because for every little kernel of good information that you can find in a pagan written book or class or video or whatever that you see, you kind of have to some things. If you see something that kind of makes the bells and whistles go off, take the time to look it up, check into it, talk to somebody that you know that's within the craft, and kind of let them know what you're wanting to know about, because there's somebody out there that can steer you in the direction of, is this legit? Is there anything kind of out of the ordinary? It's like the one thing, as an example, you know, one of our biggest things is we try to tell people we don't eat babies. But yet, you know, there are books that say, well, you know, back in the day, the witches did eat babies because they thought that it brought them power. Yeah, somebody that was an idiot, but, you know, today we're not in that vein. We're not going to take and go in that direction because of the fact that, you know, pagan traditions have some harsh sides, but it's like we're not that vicious. We're not that out of bounds with things. So don't be afraid of us. You know, I always tell people, don't be afraid of pagans, because they're just like you. They got kids, they pay bills, their cars break down, they their blood is red, and the same as everybody else. It's just that we follow the earth a different way. We follow the gods a little bit differently than a lot of you. But that's the one thing. It's like, I love those of us that can get out there and really make contact with other traditions. You know, Native American, Christian, Catholics, all of this stuff. You know, whenever people get past all the BS, what do you have left behind is nothing but, you know, really good stuff. So having said that, we're getting ready to come up on the end of the show. I'm going to give you guys one last little bit of music, and then we'll kick us off. But check us out on Facebook. Check out my channel, A Pagan Perspective, on YouTube. We've got new videos come up. We just did a video, what is that? What is an anathema? So, you know, it might be interesting for you guys to check that out. The show will be ready for download about 5 or 10 minutes after the program's over. And you can catch us also on Spotify. So having said that, I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of music, and then I'll be back at the end of the show. All right, in this last minute, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me. And I want to, like, Lodge Magician, I appreciate you so much, man. I am glad that you came out and hung with me tonight. And it is so cool. I want to say blessings, Woden and Freya, to everyone. Check out the show. Download the show. Pass it to your friends. Next week, Psychic Abilities and Witchcraft. Until then, I am your host, Reverend Samantha Treewalker, the Order of Standing Oak. Blessings of Woden and Freya to all. And we will see you next time.